A few days ago, I was talking to a group of people, trying to explain to them the spirituality of Advent. And something came together that it's one of those things that happens periodically in your head when you all of a sudden you find a connection between a couple of things that you had never thought about as a connection. But the connection that occurred and the way it came out, and I talked about it in a homily during the week, is that it dawned on me that Advent and the spirituality of Advent is for adults. The spirituality of Advent is not for kids. Let me explain a little bit. It can be brought down a little bit, but let me explain what it is. The initial picture that I got in my mind was of an event that took place many years ago. And I've mentioned this event before because it's one of those moments that sticks with you, as it taught me so much. And that event occurred at John Paul II grade school here, a little bit west of here. And it was a mass that I had to celebrate. I was asked to come and celebrate an all-school mass. And I still remember that one of the readings, I didn't know what I was going to preach on yet, but when I thought I was going to do only the older kids, but when I got there, it was the entire school. And believe me, one of the greatest challenges that any pastor faces in giving a homily is to gauge the level at which you should hit the congregation in terms of intellectually. Well, here I had kids from kindergarten all the way to eighth grade, and then I had a whole bunch of adults. And it struck me, I was kind of taken aback. I was, well, how am I going to reach all these levels of people? And it didn't help that one of the readings was from the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a book that begins, "Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities. What good does man get from all of his toil under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, and the world goes round and round, and nothing is ever new under the sun. Vanity of vanities." And that was one of the readings, and I said, oh, great. You know, this is a perfect homiletic storm. So I think that it helped my mind, hopefully under the influence of a little bit of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden came up with the image that I was going to use. And I thought of it in terms of Advent this time. The image that I used on that day was the image of the merry-go-round, which I've used before. I've explained it to you before, but I know congregations change. So anyway, here's the image very quickly. I asked all the kids in the school, and there were like 400 or 500. I asked them, how many of you have ever been on a merry-go-round? And of course, almost everybody, you raised their hands. And I said, oh, good, okay. And I said, how many of you really enjoyed being on the merry-go-round? This time, about 2/3 of the school raised their hands. And then I asked the final question. How many of you would like to live permanently on a merry-go-round? And this time, only the little kids, you know, the tiny little kids, kindergarten, maybe some first graders, but by second grade, no. Okay? So I went to the little kids And I said, why do you want to live in a merry-go-round? And the general answer was, oh, it's the horsies are going up and down, and it's so exciting to be there, and the motion, and it was just so much fun. And then I went to the eighth graders. And the eighth graders were all, you know, they were all, yeah. And I said, well, why don't you want to live on the merry-go-round? And they said, it's boring. It doesn't go anywhere. It just goes around and around and around. And the horsies go up and down and up and down. And you get tired of it. And it struck me that the little kids had a much, much lower threshold of entertainment. And the older you got and the more mature you got, the threshold for keeping your attention went up. Now, since then, I have begun to understand that not necessarily the chronological age, but very much the psychological age of the person. And it struck me because in doing more and more reflection, especially in the work with youth that I do, teenagers, it struck me that their idea of fun is totally boring for me. And so what you begin to see is this trajectory that if you look both ways, even below kindergarten, you see, for example, a baby in the crib. And a baby in the crib is entertained by almost anything. Anything. That's why on the top of the crib, you know, they have these little mobiles and the little horsies going up and down and the little musical things. And the baby is just, you know, just entertained by that. But now, I don't think any of you adults would like one of those little mobiles on top of your bed. Hey, now, if you think through this, the hypothesis that the younger you are psychologically, the less you need depth, in order to keep your attention. The younger you are, the more superficial you are, and what's supposed to happen is as you grow older, your ability to handle depth should grow with it. And as a matter of fact, if you met an adult that was totally engrossed with something totally shallow, you would say there's something wrong. Medically or developmentally, something is wrong. Now, transfer that whole dynamic, transfer it. And you can transfer it to a lot of things, relationships, all kinds of aspects of human life. But transfer it to Advent. I'm just going to apply it to Advent. And it's Advent and Christmas. I want you to notice what's going on in our society now. Because in Western societies, the preparation for Christmas involves a whole range of stimuli that are designed to entertain and absorb attention from the most shallow all the way to the deepest. The most shallow, and please understand, just because you're an adult and have a better in-depth understanding doesn't mean that you don't enjoy at some level the little glitter things that are meant to fascinate little kids. But For example, you go to a mall, or you go to any of these, the places, the public places, and what do you see? Well, all kinds of little lights. You see images of Santa. You see images of Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. You see all these Christmas symbols. And then you see we begin to hear songs. You know, you better watch out, you better not cry, you know, that kind of stuff. And immediately, when we're in the midst of all of that, we think of, oh, let's take the kids to that. And you think they're really going to enjoy it. And Jay, I have a good friend of mine who takes her grandkids to, I think, up north, like around Centerville or something like that, up 45. They have a Santa's train. It's a train. And the train ride is only like, you know, an hour long up and back, but Santa Claus boards the train. And the kids are just all over that. And, of course, if she didn't take her grandkids to go, she wouldn't go because she finds it boring. But what's happening? Notice that the Christmas season can be accessed on totally different levels. Now, what's the job of the church? Well, the job of the church is to try and hit as many of those levels as possible, but to make sure that at any of those levels, all the way from little kids to older people, that there is an appropriate depth understanding of the message that is behind the glitter. The tendency is to enjoy the glitter and the songs and all of that, but to forget that all of that symbolism and all that glitter is meant to tell a story of something much more profound. And so what happens is that the symbols that we use for Christmas, if we're not careful, become disconnected from the reality that they were supposed to point to. And then the symbols become an end in themselves without having a reality to point to. And that's when you get, you know, people who are involved in the Christmas season at all levels. I remember I went years ago, and I won't mention one of my relatives, but I went to spend Christmas with them, and there was not one single mention of what was about Christmas. All it was, Merry Christmas, here's your present, and let's eat, and then secular songs. And I just thought, oh my God, it's the signs totally cut off from what they're supposed to refer to. And so the job of the church is to make sure that we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but at the same time that we make sure that during the Advent season that we keep the depth that we're celebrating and also enjoy the glitter. But the sin, and I think the word is correct, the sin is when you cut off the glitter and all that that word entails, and you separate it from the depth. And we do that on a regular basis. Secular society loves to celebrate, but doesn't like the reasons for that celebration. Think about it. I mean, during Christmas, secular society, there's extremes. People are making up stuff, they're saying, what are we celebrating? Or it's the winter holiday. We say the symbols are Santa Claus. Now, if you study Santa Claus, believe it or not, I have. But if you study Santa Claus, you understand that it comes from the tradition of St. Nicholas and the life of St. Nicholas and the spirituality of St. Nicholas. And Santa Claus is basically a creation of Coca-Cola in the 1920s. It is. Scout's honor. I was never a scout, but scout's honor. And we do that. But think about it. What are we supposed to be celebrating? We're supposed to be celebrating the unbelievable fact that the God of this universe has become a human being. And because he has become a human being and lived a human life, and even when we rejected him and crucified him, instead of looking to his Father and saying, to hell with all of these people, Father, his words were, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It was at that moment that we understood the identity of God. When we say God is love, how did we know that? Because of what's behind me. Because of Jesus on the cross. Nobody ever thought that God was love before Jesus. Even the Jews understood God more in terms of justice. And God, every kid today, God loves me. If you would have said that 2,000 years ago, people would have laughed at you. Because the gods were crazy. They were basically projections of nature, and if you did not get it right in terms of pleasing them, they would withhold rain, or they would send plagues on you and all kinds of stuff. And so that's why you have ancient sacrifices, to try and make sure that they pleased the god just right, so that there would be this quid pro quo, that we give you what you want and you give us, you like us. The gods were crazy. So nobody thought God is love. So there's the depth. But no, that's far too much. Far too much to think through. And so what do? Well, we develop with Coca-Cola, a fat old man that's in red with a chief reindeer who has a nasal condition. Get it? That was a joke. Rudolph, red nose. Oh, jeez. Anyway. We totally superficialize it. We totally superficialize it. Now, it's not bad to enjoy Rudolph and his cold. And it's not bad to enjoy the fat old man that brings presents. But what's horrible is that Christians allow themselves to be superficialized and infantilized. Not infanticide, but infanticide made it little babies, so that we enjoy Christmas at a level that is meant for little kids. And that's nice, but it's not meant to stay there. And if you stay there, that says something about your psychological age. Okay? Think about Easter. Can you imagine what we celebrate in Easter? A human being who is God himself, who was rejected by humanity, tortured, and crucified, who did not condemn us, but not only that, who went into a tomb for 3 days and rose from the dead. Can you imagine the implications that that would have if we were to be able to say that we face death, but that when we face death and the decomposition of our bodies, and I don't mean that after death, I mean when you're getting old. Right? Trust me, I'm 67 and I feel the decomposition of my body. Okay? It doesn't start at death. It starts way before. And can you imagine the significance of God made human, allowing himself to be killed, forgiving us, and then revealing that there is a life beyond death? Can you imagine if you really believed that? Can you imagine the difference it would make in your life? Oh, no, too complicated. Oh, no. Let's keep it simple. Let's celebrate springtime. And let's celebrate springtime by having a bunny that brings us chocolates. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's good for little kids. But if you enjoy Easter because of that, or because you get to wear a new dress or a new suit, there's something wrong with you. And so what's the church supposed to do? Well, the whole point of Advent and the whole point of Lent is to help you to connect and reconnect with the depth that is present in the season that you're about to celebrate. The church doesn't want you not to celebrate. If you look at the calendar, many, if not most, of the great celebrations were inspired by, guess who? The Catholic Church. All the way, they're offshoots of the Catholic Church, because they're all part of Western society that was created by Christianity's being embedded in Greco-Roman religion. And so, let me start. You know, I feel every time I give a homily, I feel like a pilot who's got to have a takeoff, then you're on the way, and then you got to tell the people, okay, we're starting our descent, you know, for our destiny. Well, we're starting our descent for the homily. So what is it that we're supposed to do? Well, have you noticed that one of the things, this is another thing that I connected, I am not supposed to, okay, but I add just a few little words to the Mass, and I do so when I take the host. Later on you'll hear it and see it. When I take the host and the chalice and I go, behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those to be called to this banquet. That's what I'm supposed to say. But I normally just add a little bit. And I say, behold Jesus, the heart and center of the universe. He is the Lamb of God. And then I continue. He takes away the darkness, the superficial, the sin of the world. Because you see, the sin of the world is not necessarily something evil you do. The sin of the world is intentional superficiality. You remember in the book of Revelations, Jesus says, I wish you were either cold or hot, because you are lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Think about those of you who like coffee. I love coffee. I don't mind drinking iced coffee. I don't mind drinking hot coffee. But have you ever had coffee that has gone lukewarm? You just kind of go, ugh. And that's what Jesus is saying. So what am I, what are we, me as your pastor, what are we supposed to do? Well, the whole point is, I got to make sure, and we all have to make sure, in your own families and here at this family of St. Cyril's, we have to make sure that we don't approach the feast of the incarnation of our Lord. We normally call it Christ's Mass. That's where Christmas comes from. Christ's Mass, meaning coming forth of Christ. We have to make sure that we celebrate it at the psychological level that it is appropriate. And what is that psychological level? Well, as an adult, you should know that all of the things that you dream about, the love that you hope is forever, and all of the longings that human beings have, you should know by now, and the older you are, the more you should know this, is that without Jesus' resurrection, we're up the creek. We are up the creek without a paddle, because you're going to die. And that comes sooner rather than later. And the longing of your heart, the longing that you have for happiness and for eternal love, is going to go unfulfilled. That's why, I always enjoy an old Peggy Lee song. If you remember the old Peggy Lee song, "Is That All There Is?" where she goes through the entire, experiences, and she says, "Is that it?" And that's true. But only an adult can understand that. Do I? Because a little kid is quite satisfied with a merry-go-round that has no depth. And so I'm asking you, during this Advent, just, I'm not saying that you need to become a mystic or a theologian, but do some reflection, some adult reflection, on what does this supposed to mean? What is it supposed to mean? And the church is trying to slap some sense into us. The purple, the building up, the readings and all of that. They're saying, look a lot deeper than you're doing it. Because one of these days, you're going to be confronted with the end of life and other sufferings. And you're going to ask deep questions. And if you've spent your life swimming in a pool that is half an inch deep, you're not going to have the resources to be able to face the issues that come to all of us, adults especially, the older the more likely. And so, remember, inappropriate, we're coming in for landing, inappropriate superficiality is a sin. It's a sin of omission. It is a sin of intentional ignorance and intentional superficiality. And Jesus was pretty hard on that. So Advent, it's for adults. It's okay for kids to be happy with Santa. Help them to make the connection to get a little deeper. But it's not okay for you. Think it through.